It's 2:37 on WGN. Karen Conti will be here after 3 o'clock, but right now, at this moment, in the studio is Ann Beal, Dr. Ann Beal, who I believe, did you drive here?
I did.
Did you write a book while you were driving?
No, they say now I'm not supposed to do that anymore.
She writes a book every 10 minutes, I think. These two, not one, most people come in, okay, I've got a book out. She has two books out now, among many others that you've done. This one, these two, one is called Embracing Calm, Meditation Journeys for Inner Peace. The other is called Embracing Self-Compassion, Meditation Journeys for Self-Kindness. Now, that title tells me you don't think we're being kind to one another?
I don't. I think we have a real opportunity in that department, both for ourselves and for others.
All right, so I want to talk about that a little bit. You're not that old, but I will ask you, like 25 years ago compared to today, you were an adult then, barely, but an adult. Don't argue with the host. So that, do you think we're less kind today than we were 25 years ago?
Yeah, I think we are, actually. I was just reading a book called The Anxious Generation, and, you know, we as a...
Is that us?
Well, that's actually young people tend to be pretty
millennials.
Anxious. Gen Z tend to be very anxious. But I think in general, we are moving very quickly. We are striving. We're on social media showing how great our lives are, or we're showing, you know, looking at people whose lives look so great. And I think in general, I think a lot of people feel pretty unfulfilled. And I think there's a feeling of, I'm not doing enough. I'm not working hard enough. Oh, I make these various mistakes. And I think we are not compassionate towards ourselves or towards others.
Where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from our culture. I think we have a striving culture. But I also think it comes partly from social media, where we look at people who seem to be doing so much more than we are doing. And so we do a lot of comparison. So there's a reason to believe that our social media may be part of that.
Are you concerned about that for kids especially?
I'm concerned about it for kids, and I think for adults. I was actually talking to my husband, who said to me, he said, when I look at too much social media, I start to get anxious.
Really?
That's what he said.
No, he's not alone. I'm sure of that. Yeah. Now, so how do you become less anxious? Now, in one of your books, Embracing Calm, you say, picture you're in another place.
Right.
And you give several examples. One, picture a crisp winter day. You decide to enjoy outdoors with a leisurely stroll. A soft layer of snow blankets the ground, inviting you to embark on a journey down an old, quaint country road that leads to a dense evergreen forest. You put on your cozy jacket, sturdy boots, and warm hat and gloves, and you step outside. The brisk, chill air brushes against you, and you go on about that.
I do.
And what happened with me is I just turned off the air conditioner when I read that. I mean, there are people that read that that say, that doesn't sound relaxing.
So... it's called Meditation Journeys for Inner Peace because I have struggled with meditation, as many people have. It's very difficult to turn off your brain. So I created these journeys as ways to relax and to unhook from what you are doing right now. Most of us are in our heads thinking about the next thing, planning, stressing.
That's true.
Yeah. And so my idea was, let's take a little journey where I can get you out of your head and on my little country lane walk in the snow, which we often don't think of that as being very pleasant or wonderful, but it can be absolutely beautiful. And so that was my effort, you know, to kind of make it easy for people to meditate. And it's a form of meditation where you are just unhooking from the stress of your life. So that was the objective with that book. And people tell me they like to read it in the morning and start their day out with a little journey that kind of puts them in a nice place.
Well, that nice place you might need a passport for, because another is France.
Yeah.
That you give an example and you say, inhale slowly, counting to three, filling your lungs with air. I guess less pollution there. I don't. Exhale gently, counting to three, releasing any tension. Repeat this process, taking three deep, purposeful breaths, allowing your body to relax, and then you look up and you see the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. And part of relaxing is the breathing, obviously. So that's part of the reason why that's there. By the way, I really need to have you do the audiobooks. They're so good.
I don't know about that. But,
yeah.
But what is, and I'd be happy to do it, by the way, for a price, but which will make you want to breathe easy or something like that.
Breathe deeply.
Yeah, yeah.
Unhook from the stresses.
So, well, you know, working with me can't be easy. But what makes it, when you're in another place, then that helps? If you imagine yourself being in France or in England where you just were, I mean, does that help?
It does help. And the issue is that the way that the brain works is that we have these pathways that get, you know, completely sort of, you know, in, they are basically overrun. They're so strong that we go to them all the time. And so I'm constantly worried about X and Y and Z and what about the cats and how about this? And oh my goodness, did I lock the door, right? But there are these pathways in my head that are constantly in play.
And why is it better to turn those off?
It's better to turn those off actually because you don't want to live in a state of stress. You don't want to live in a state of stress 24/7. And that's what a lot of people are in. They are in a state of worry. They're in a state of stress. And so there's a, you know, a feeling that you really need to unhook from that. You need to kind of take your mind away from that, because what happens when you meditate is that you actually take yourself and you make those neuronal pathways less traveled, and you take yourself into a different place and you create new ones. And so by doing this kind of let's move out of this state that we're in and move into a relaxing state, and whether you do that through meditation in the traditional sense, or whether you do that through reading a book, or whether you do that through taking a walk and being in awe of nature around you, but unhooking from everything around you that's kind of creating these anxiety produced experiences in your head. And I think it's more important each day, actually.
Now, there are cultures elsewhere in the world. I know in Japan, people just stop and meditate. I know that in India, in a very different way than the Japanese culture, but for their own way, people meditate every single day. Why don't we do that? Or would it be beneficial that we do that? And is it? Has science shown for it to be physiologically beneficial?
It's definitely physiologically beneficial. And that's been shown through science, been shown through many, many studies. Lots of studies on monks who do meditation all day long show that they live in a very different place.
But it's boring.
It can be boring, and I think for us in fast-paced America, I think it is hard. And so for us to slow down and think of nothing, or just to let the thoughts go through, which is really what meditation is, you sort of let the thoughts go through and you don't grab on them and you let them go through. For me, I'd like to have something that's visual because I want to take a trip. I'm a very energetic person, as you know.
Yeah.
Very difficult for me to sit down, very difficult for me to relax. And so I need to take a trip. And guided meditations like these, this is a visual one. You can buy the audiobook, which does exist.
So someone already did the voiceover for that.
Someone did.
So someone took the job I never even could apply for.
It's so sad.
That's not right.
It's not right.
No. Ann Beal is her name. Embracing Calm, Meditation Journeys for Inner Peace. That's one book. We'll talk about the other when we come back a bit more. Embracing Self-Compassion. Did someone do the voiceover for this already? Was it you? Oh, could have been me. Was it a woman? Yeah, I figured. Embracing that's not right either. Could be a guy. Why can't a guy do this?
Men are totally equipped to do this.
They are totally equipped.
Totally.
Okay, I think so. Embracing Self-Compassion, Meditation Journeys for Self-Kindness is the name of the book. Where can you get these books, by the way?
You can get them on Amazon.
I've heard of that.
And you can sometimes get them, you can order them through your local bookshop, but they are often easiest to get on Amazon.
Okay, so we'll all take a deep breath before we go and come back. Ann Beal is here. Dr. Ann Beal is the author of Embracing Self-Compassion, Meditation Journeys for Self-Kindness. And as if one book isn't enough, it's not for her, Embracing Calm, Meditation Journeys for Inner Peace. And, you know, we were talking about stress and how Americans in general, you just came back from England. Is it different there?
I would say, so we were in London, which isn't very different with people walking quickly and looking a little bit stressed out. But we were in the countryside walking in the Cotswolds. And there the pace of life is slower and people walk more slowly.
Yeah, but the pace of life is slower in Des Moines than it is New York City or Chicago.
Yeah, I suppose, but I think that there is a feeling, and I can't say for sure, but there was a feeling of kind of take your time, don't rush. you know, enjoy the moment. I think those are very meditational type values.
So in Spain, have you been to Spain?
I have.
Yeah, okay. And also in Italy and other countries in Europe. There's a siesta time, essentially.
Right.
You know, so they work from 9 or 10, not always 8 in the morning, until noon.
Right.
And then again from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. Is that lifestyle healthier?
It can be. I think it's what's healthy is what you want to do. And if your life is the way you want it to be, but if you feel like you're rushing from thing to thing and not getting what you need to get done and not feeling like you are contributing and not feeling that, you know, that you are a valuable person in this world, then I think that that's a different thing and that's not, you're going to feel stressed.
So Meditation Journeys for Self-Kindness, which is one of those two books, you have a big picture of a mirror here.
I do.
Yeah. I don't know. I know people who get stressed just looking at a mirror.
Sure, which is why I have that meditation in there.
Explain that.
Well, my goal is to for us to be kinder to ourselves when we look in the mirror. In fact, I think most of us look in the mirror and go, oh my goodness, wow, where did that wrinkle come from? Oh my God, is that 10 pounds since Thanksgiving? Wow. I think we often look in the mirror and we feel bad about ourselves. And so my goal is
to... We just need better mirrors.
We do. Yes. I want that mirror on the wall, the one
exactly.
That says, yeah, says I'm the fairest of them all.
Yeah, that's the book you should have written.
Should have.
America
totally.
Needs better mirrors.
Exactly. But what we need to do is we need to bring a different self to the mirror. That's my belief. And we need to bring the self that says, you know what? I look the way I do. It's partly because my father has this nose. My mother has these eyes. I have the body shape I do because of the lineage, because of all the... So many people who came before me. Which
who you now blame.
Whom I do not
That's
blame.
That's not the intent.
You know, but I think that we need to look at ourselves very differently. And self-compassion has three components. There's a self-kindness versus judgment. So it's looking at ourselves and just saying, oh, you know what? I got a parking ticket. But that's not the end of the world. It happens. There's a mindfulness component saying, yeah, you know what? I feel a little bit nervous, you know, going on that date, or I feel a little bit scared at that job interview or whatever. It's acknowledging the things that are normal. And then the last part of it is just common humanity. We're all in this together and we all experience all these feelings. And we all go to the mirror and say, oh my goodness, what happened? And we have to acknowledge that we're in this together and that these are just normal feelings.
And that's all okay.
Have. It's all okay.
Even the parking ticket?
Even now, the parking ticket.
I don't know. So also you say that stress also arises when we encounter challenging situations.
Right.
These challenges are not signs of inadequacy, but instead opportunities.
Absolutely.
For us. So that's totally glasses half full.
Absolutely. And that's my belief. And I'm not a positivity psychologist, right? But I do believe that you can look at everything that happens to you as an opportunity.
Well, you are a psychologist.
I am a psychologist.
So you're a negative psychologist?
I'm just a psychologist.
Okay.
But my belief is that, you know, you look at your past life and you look at the mistakes you've made.
Hold on.
Your
Am I
life.
Talking to Shirley MacLaine?
No, you are not.
Okay. So you don't mean the life in which I was a buffalo?
No, not that life, because we don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
But even you look at your life and your past and you say, I've made mistakes. We all have made mistakes. Some of them have been big for me. Some of them have been small. And I look back and I often say, oh, geez, I wish I hadn't done that. But you know what? I now look at them and go, they made me who I am. And they are part of my journey. And they are absolutely okay. The mistakes are not good, but they have led me sort of where I am today, and I accept them.
How do you do that, though? It's easy to sit here and say that, but it's another thing not to regret.
I think I have worked very hard on this, and I do use a lot of self-compassion in my own life, and I spend a lot of time thinking about these things and trying to understand them in a way that gives me some type of advantage. And so I say, okay, I made that mistake. I did this thing. I had this experience. You know, what does this teach me? And what can I move forward with? How can my day today be better than my day yesterday? Knowing that I'm a fallible human being, because we all are.
Yeah. So we don't give ourselves enough grace?
We don't. And we don't, by the way, because we don't give ourselves enough grace, we don't give it to others either.
Hmm. She's a smart lady, isn't she? She says smart stuff. But you have lots of comments here about the mirror. So we have some people who have broken mirrors who have texted us. Does that actually mean, someone wants to know, does that actually mean if I break the mirror, 7 years of bad luck?
Yeah. I cannot comment on that.
She does not. Now, this is interesting. I look in the mirror every morning. My first thought is, what happened to me? And then I remember my dad told me to say every day, which is, gosh darn it, I'm cleaning it up a little. I'm a good-looking man. Mm. Now, you'd expect that from a woman, you know? So from a man to look at the mirror every day, do we sometimes not acknowledge that men are as concerned about these things as women?
Oh, I think they're absolutely as concerned. I think we are all concerned with our appearance even more so now because of social media. Mm. And I think that we need to realize that beauty is really about how we approach the world. It's not really about our appearance. It's really about how we feel about ourselves. And when I come into a room and I'm like, you know, I'm happy. I want to get to know you. I'm feeling good about myself. Gosh darn it, I look good. It's not about how I actually physically appear. It's how I am internally. And that's that excellent idea of looking at the mirror and saying, gosh darn it, I am a fabulous looking person.
Not if they break the mirror.
No, right? Breaking mirrors.
No breaking mirrors. Now, you also talk about in this book as well, imagine yourself in another place.
Yes.
And the example that you give is a treehouse.
I do.
What if you have a fear of heights, and why a treehouse?
Well, you know, there's so many different ones. So lots of, as someone said who read the book, you're so creative and you have a lot of different places to go to. So that was one of them. If you are afraid of heights, you might not want to read that one. But I think, you know, frankly, it has a winding staircase, actually, that goes up and very, very safe. And you can conquer your fear of heights by taking that staircase. But yeah, lots of different places, because I think it's not really the location that matters. It just means that I want you to get out of your head. I want you to be away from all of the things that are bothering you right now. And I want you to be in a treehouse or there's an island that's above the clouds.
So we have 1 minute here. Send us to a place. Tell us, don't tell me where to go, because you don't want to do that on the radio. But send us to a place.
Okay. Well, I want you to breathe in deeply. I want you to inhale, and I want you to take a very deep breath, and I want you to let it go. And I want you to imagine that you are walking down a forest path, and ahead of you is a magical castle. It shimmers with silver and gold, and beautiful lights come from the windows, and you enter this castle, and there are different rooms for you. Each room can do something different for you. Maybe you need to forgive. So head down the hall to the room called forgiveness. Or maybe you need to relax. Go to the relaxing room. Maybe you need to be creative. Go on up to the second floor and see if there's a room for developing creativity. Maybe there's a room where you get to visit your past mistakes and give yourself a pass on those. Maybe there's a room where you need to think about an emotional issue or a problem you're trying to solve. Go find that room. That room contains whatever you need. Whatever room it is that you need, go find that room and go into it. Maybe you see that there are different colors on the walls, different furniture. It's going to be cozy. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to smell fabulous. And you can do whatever you need to do there.
Ooh. Whatever you need to do. I don't even know what that means. And I won't ask. Ann Beal, Dr. Ann Beal, the names of her books, Embracing Self-Compassion, Meditation Journeys for Self-Kindness, and Embracing Calm, Meditation Journeys for Inner Peace.